in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, even as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. We're in a process here of looking at prayer. Not only looking at prayer, but I pray we're activating prayer. We've talked about it before. We've been to prayer seminars. We've read books on prayer. We've talked about prayer and taught on prayer. It's now time that the church begins to pray. Scriptures about prayer are just leaping out at me, just leaping upon me and changing me and adjusting my mentality, which is exactly what I want done. Now, if you look with me to begin tonight with in Acts chapter 6, Acts chapter 6, a passage of scripture that means so much to me at this point in my life. This is the time when the first disciples are the first, not disciples, but deacons were placed into the church. You know the story. They were having troubles ministering to the widows. And so the apostle said, choose out from among you seven men full of wisdom and the Holy Spirit so that we can do something. And that's what I want to concentrate on. Let's begin reading. Verse 3. But select from among you, brethren, seven men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Let me read verse 4 again. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The first thing I want you to see there is there's an act of will happening here. Do you see that? We will. I have to have an act happen in my will. My will has to be adjusted to something. And that will then happens to be a devotion. King James Bible says, give ourselves to. That act of my will must be a devotion to prayer. How many sees there that to pray, you've got to devote yourself to it? It's not something that's just going to happen in our lives. Now, I went for probably 15 years or so, however long that it's been that I've been saved. I've went and I've prayed probably more than most. But I've never devoted myself to prayer until these last several months. And there's a difference. There's a difference of leading a Christian life where you're walking through it, and there's a difference in that and devoting yourself to prayer. Prayer comes with devotion. How many has heard of the devotional? You know? It's a time that you set apart to do something, to pray, to seek God. Turk calls it his quiet time. It's a time you set apart for devotion. It's a devotional time. It's you devote yourself to it. And prayer becomes an aspect of that in our lives. We must devote ourselves to prayer and also the ministry of the word. Now, I've never had problems devoting myself to the ministry of the word. But it's only been these last couple of months that I've really devoted myself to prayer. And I just want to give you that tonight. I want you to see that. That you'll never be a prayer warrior until you devote yourself to prayer. You'll never see things happen in the realm of the Spirit until you war in the realm of the Spirit. You must become a prayer warrior. That's why they call them warriors, because you're warring. Prayer is war. It's a war for us just to pray. Think about that. It's a war for us to come here on Wednesday night just to pray. If we're going to teach, that's one thing. Get a pretty good crowd. But if we're just going to come to pray, it's difficult. Be honest. Is that true? It's true. It's war to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning or an hour before we usually get up just to devote a time to prayer. It's war. The war is won, for me, at 6 o'clock in the morning when the alarm goes off. It's either won or lost then. If I get up, it's won. If I don't, I've lost. It's warfare. Prayer is warfare. So I just wanted to begin with that tonight because that's a passage of Scripture that's quite meaningful to me at this point in my life. I have learned what that means. Prayer is something that I am now devoted to. My life is devoted to prayer. If I don't pray, I feel like I've done something not necessarily wrong, but I feel like I haven't completed my day. Do you know what I mean? There's an empty spot. There's a void spot. And it's not a legalistic thing. I don't want you to even think that. But it's something that I sense in my heart that I'm called now to do, and I've devoted myself to it. From this morning's time that we had together, I just want to reiterate one thought, one point before we continue on. And I said something about I was talking about praying for our families. And I just want to make a statement that most family problems can be resolved or fact eliminated or fact avoided in prayer. See, I can't be mad at my wife. Moved on me. I can't be mad at my wife if I'm praying for her. And she can't be mad at me if she's praying for me. It's impossible. It's impossible for me to bless her life and still be mad at her. Listen, it's impossible for your children to be in rebellion, folks, if they're praying for their parents. If you've got your children praying and they're praying for their parents, it's going to be very difficult for them to walk in rebellion. Is that right? Prayer can eliminate all. That's a bold statement. Family problems. There's an adage, it's not scriptural, but a family that prays together stays together. And there's a strong point there. But I just wanted to reiterate that. If you're having marital problems, then you need to pray. You need to pray for that person. If there's tension in the home, there needs to be prayer going up. There needs to be blessings going towards one another. If your children in rebellion, you need to, of course, be praying for your children. But we need to get prayer in our children so they'll be praying for their parents. It's difficult for children to walk in rebellion when they're praying for their parents. Now, tonight what I want to talk about is prayer for the church. This would be number 3 in the breakdown of praying and thy kingdom come and thy will be done. It's the third primary area that we need to pray in. Now, in the church realm, let me break that down into basically three primary areas, but then there'll be sub-areas. Number 1, we need to pray for specific people. I touched this morning. We need to pray in our church for specific people. You need to pray for me every day. I beg your prayers. I want you to pray for me. I know that I am a primary target of the enemy. I know that if the enemy can get me, he will. And by getting me, he's going to hurt this work. He will put a blemish on it. Is that a good way to put it? And they all say, well, you're no different than anybody else. What are you? Who are you? You need to pray for me. You need to keep me before the Lord. You need to pray a hedge about me. You need to pray angels to guard me. You need to pray that the Lord will speak His word to me. You need to pray that I'll pray. You need to pray for me and pray for my family. If me and my family are working well together, then there's not going to be a lot of problems going on that I can't devote myself to prayer and pray for you and ministry of the word. But if there's tension in my family, it's going to pull me away from what I really need to be doing. You need to pray for your pastor. If this isn't your home church, where your home church is, you need to pray for your pastor. You need to pray for him every day. Every day. You need to pray for the leadership of the church. Churches have different kinds of leadership. In our church, we have elders. We have deacons. You need to pray for them. Do you understand that the only way the enemy can get in here and do a devastating thing to our church is if he can get in the leadership? Paul said, and I think it's in Acts 19, Paul said this, that among yourselves, and he's talking to the Ephesian elders, he says, among yourselves shall grievous wolves arise. We need to pray that among our elders that we'll stay unified, that we can discuss, but yet be in unity, that we can, in fact, argue, that we can debate, but yet we can stay in unity. If we can't do that, and the enemy can get a wedge in there, he can cause all kinds of problems right here in this work. Do you believe that? You need to pray for the leadership. You need to pray for your elders and your deacons. You need to pray for the teachers here. You need to pray for those people that instruct your children. Do you think you should? Someone asked me this morning, and I told them that when people give their children to teachers, then what they're in fact doing is submitting their authority of that child for that point of time to that person, to that teacher. Is that right? When you send your children to the public school system, you are giving them authority over your child. When you submit your children to us to take back there and impart to them the things of the kingdom of God, you're submitting them to that teacher to minister to them. You need to pray for that teacher. You need to pray for that teacher over there. Is that right? Randy, will you cut that thing down? I think it's cool up here. I know Dr. Cash is probably sweating. But how many think that you need to pray for the teachers here? Do you think you need to pray for the nursery workers? See, we need to pray for the nursery workers. You hand your child, you hand your baby to that nursery worker. You need to have prayer cover. There needs to have been prayer already lifted, submitted to the Lord for those nursery workers. We need to pray for the members of this body. Now, when you pray, like I mentioned this morning, one thing that I use from time to time is the church directory. And that church directory is the parents' name and the children's name. And I just allow the Spirit to quicken to me things. And I'll pray in the Spirit and I'll pray for the members. You need to pray when we're having visiting ministry. You need to pray for the visiting ministry that's going to be here. There's a lot of things that we can pray for right here that we need to pray for individual people. So the first thing that we need to pray for is people. Okay? When you're praying, thy kingdom come and thy will be done for the church, allow the Lord to pray to bring to be to you people of, in remembrance out of the realm of the Spirit that you can just pray for. And then what will happen is you'll get released to that into the second realm, which is faithfulness that I want to talk about. We need to be a faithful people. We need to pray for families to be faithful to each other. Do you know that the divorce rate in churches is just as high as the divorce rate in the world? Do you know that the divorce rate in pastors is the second high profession of all divorce? Do you think that we need to pray for our families to be faithful to each other? That children will obey their parents and that the parents won't provoke their children to wrath and that husbands will love their wives as Christ loved the church and that wives will submit and love their husbands as unto the Lord? See, that's what we need to pray. We need to pray for families to be faithful to each other. Then we need to pray for the vision that God's given us. Without a vision, my people perish. We need a vision. We have one here. Every church should have a vision. Where it's going, what its plans are, what its purpose, why God has it there. And the church needs to know what that vision is. And I don't have time to get into ours. But you need to know what our vision is, and you need to pray for that vision. You need to pray for a corporate gatherings. In other words, that we'll be faithful to our times of corporate gatherings. Just talking to Dr. Roger, and he was telling me that the joint of supply ministered to him. You see, you can't minister to members in this body if you're not here. How many's got talents in them? How many's got talent? Most of you don't have talents? I want every hand to go up because every person in here has got some talents that God's deposited in you. Okay. Now, what I want to ask you is, what are you doing with those talents? Are you using them or have you dug a hole and buried them? Now, if you don't know what that's saying, if you don't know what that parable is talking about, that guy that buried his talent was sent to the tormentors. You need to understand that principle. There's a purpose. There's a reason for you to come to church. Not that wherever God plants you, that's where you need to be, because that's where you'll be fruitful. You need to be at that church, and you need to go there with an aspect and an idea of ministering to somebody, that somebody needs you. That's why we come to church, folks. We're going to praise the Lord, but you bless me just by being here, by hugging my neck and encouraging me, and just by coming to hear me talk is just a blessing to me. But also, you need to know that there's somebody there that needs to minister to you. You see, if I'm not here and somebody's got a word for me or wants to minister to me or wants to hug my neck and I'm not here, then that joint is plugged up. You see, that joint don't get to flow. Doesn't get to flow. There's a joint of supply principle. You can read it in Ephesians chapter 4. We're supposed to come unto the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ, unto the perfect man. We're supposed to come unto where every joint of supply ministers. That's the purpose of the body. We need to pray that our bodies will be corporate and functional, and that when we come together, there's a faithfulness here. There's a faithfulness. People need to come to be faithful. We need to pray for faithfulness in our giving. In our giving. You could say a whole lot about giving. But you know you need to be faithful in your tithes and your offerings. You hear that twice a week. But we know that where our treasure is, there our heart is. Where I am putting my money is where my heart really is. And if I'm giving into the kingdom, then that's where I'm at. And if I'm not, I'm not. I mean, the principle is, Jesus said it, that where a man's treasure is, there his heart is. You can't serve two gods. What are they? God and mammon. So we need to pray for the faithfulness to the giving. Now, our budget here in a week's time is probably, I'll spend $2,000. That's not our budget. But there's a lot of things that we're doing. I'm beseeching the Lord right now for $4,000. I want $4,000 a week. Here's why. And you can get in agreement with me on this. I want $4,000 a week, tithes and offerings. Here's why. One, we need a school. It's going to cost money to have a school. The inheritance of the Lord is what? The seed, the children. Our inheritance may be something grandpa left us or daddy left us. Our inheritance is the earth, all right? Something of the earth. But his inheritance is our children. What we get to leave the Lord in the earth is the children. We want a school here. We feel like God is telling us now. Oh boy. We feel like God is saying to us, it's time now to begin a work, a school here, to minister to your children. To implant, impart into your children the things of God. It's going to cost money. We want to make it so that it's not burdensome on the parents. We want the church to be able to supplement as much as possible. We feel like God wants a school here. We feel like it's erroneous to preach a message about having babies and then send them to the state, sacrificing them to humanism. And you know, I can't get on that. You know I can't. But that's one thing we want to do. Another thing we want to do is we need a place for our youth to minister to this city. What we're going to do immediately is soundproof that wall and give them that whole area back there. Give them that room back there where they can have a youth time back there. How many knows kids make noise? And we want to give them a place where they can minister, where they won't have be they're cramped in a little room back there right now. We got to give them some space. We got to give something for them to minister to and bring people in and minister to people. And we want to do that immediately. But that's not going to hold them forever. We got to provide a place for that. Another thing we need to do is turn our sanctuary around. We want to knock that wall down, knock those offices down, build us a better platform back there, set it up better, because we're running out of space. And if God keeps sending us people, we got to do something, right? And we need a better facility to minister to the city, so we want to turn this around. All those things cost money. I'm asking the Lord for $4,000 a week, tithes and offerings. We have an indebtedness now on this building that we purchased three and a half years ago. I'm believing God this year for $100,000 that we can just put to the paying of the building. Now, we'll talk more about that when we talk into Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread. But what I'm saying is that we need to pray for people to be faithful in their giving. There's things that God wants done here, and it needs to be submitted in prayer, in everything with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. And what needs to be prayed about. Do you agree with me? And I want you to begin to pray with me. When you begin to pray about the giving, I want you to understand that we need to be faithful in our giving. And also, as Dr. Cash reminds us so frequently, the giving is basically a blessing to the giver. It is more blessed is he that giveth, is more blessed, I'll get it, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So the blessing is upon the person that gives. But we need to be faithful in our giving. The third element that we need to talk about in praying for the church, number one, specific people. Number two is faithfulness. Then number three is the harvest. And here's where I really want to get after it. Number three is the harvest. Now, going to turn to some scriptures, going to look at some scriptures tonight, and then we're going to war. We're going to war. Do you know that God's going to have a people that like to battle? He's going to have a people that like to fight. I'm going to remind us of a scripture as we start the warfare. I'm going to go ahead and say it now. In Samuel, 1 Samuel 17, remember David and Goliath? Goliath walked out there and he challenged Israel, and he says, give me a man that we might fight together. I want you to know that God's church is going to come to the place where it says, give us a demon so that we can fight together. We're the champion. Goliath isn't. Give us a demon, God, so that we can fight. We can't find any demons around here. Oh, man. All right, a harvest. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Until Randy turns the air off. Randy turns the air off, doesn't he? I knew that was going to come. Matthew chapter 9, beginning at verse 35. And Jesus was going about all the what? Cities and all the what? Villages. Teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. I had a man come in here this week, and he said to me, he said, I went and preached at a little Pentecostal church. And he says, he's one of them kingdom preachers, ain't he? And he felt so condemned because he was called a kingdom preacher. And I said, that is the greatest honor you can have. That's the gospel that Jesus preached. That's the gospel that Paul preached. It's the gospel of the kingdom of God, folks. No, there's not. That's the only gospel. That's the only good news, is that God's in charge. The devil's not in charge. God's in charge. It's His kingdom. It's not the devil's kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom. And healing every kind of disease. We're going to see this before long. And healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And seeing the multitudes, He felt compassion for them. Because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. Do you believe that there are some people that are distressed and downcast today? Do you? Melanie, over at the high school, are there people that are distressed and downcast? Are there people where you work, Duran, that are downcast and distressed? And he saw these people and he had compassion on them. He says they're like sheep without a shepherd. They don't have anybody to lead them. They don't have anybody to help them. They don't have anybody to show them what to do. Take them to get water or take them to get grass. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers or what? Few. Therefore, because the harvest is so plentiful, and because the workers are few, beseech, King James Bible says, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest. Now, how many of us have prayed that prayer this year? How many of us have prayed, Lord of the harvest, dispatch angels, dispatch ministers, dispatch laborers to go into the harvest field to harvest the people? Most Christians don't, because we're not praying. We're not faithful to prayer for the harvest. And he doesn't say go out and knock on doors. He doesn't say go out and do those. He says pray. I haven't got anything about not wrong with knocking on doors. You understand what I'm saying, right? This will probably go on the radio. I don't have any problems with knocking on doors. Say, I hear you say that. Don't have any problems with knocking on doors. Don't have any problems with that kind of stuff. I'm just saying, he says to pray. Now, now I could go through scriptures, and I could show us where when the Lord comes, He's going to have angels that'll be gathering people from the east, the west, north, and the south. And you know that. I'm not going to take time to do that. Angels are sent of God to minister to people. You know that. But also He sends people, doesn't He? And how many knows that now Jesus didn't say here, send forth workers into the harvest. Now stop chapter 10. He didn't say that. He didn't say chapter 10. This is continuous discourse. He said, after he said, he says, the harvest, to send workers into the harvest, and having summoned his 12 disciples, that's all one thought, he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. I want you to know, folks, we're laborers in the harvest field. And we've got power over demons. We've got power over sickness. We've got power over every kind of disease.
Amen. Amen.
Does Christ live where? Where does he dwell? In you. Did he forget to bring his power? It's there. It's there. Now, we're going to dispatch angels, but we're also going to dispatch people. And we're going to pray that people will go into the harvest field. We're going to pray that members of the body of Christ will go into the harvest field. But the first thing that we've got to understand is that we're supposed to be faithful to pray for the harvest. Therefore, because... Now, how many days a week do you suppose that God wants to get somebody saved? So how often should we pray this prayer? Yeah. I was talking to Jody this week. Jody was talking about, you know, to give us this. What was we talking about, Jody? Where's Jody? What was we talking about? Give us this day our daily bread. And he said, the provisions, you know. And he said, no, you wouldn't wait till the end of the day to pray that, would you? We need to start our day in prayer. And what we need to do is, one of the things that we need to pray about is that during that day, God will cause us to pass somebody, go by somebody's life that we can harvest into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Now, he says, beseech. Beseech is an intensified prayer. Beseeching the Lord. If I could pray for you, I can pray that you do something for me. But if I beseech you to do it for me, do you see that I've intensified what I've asked you to do? He says, intensify and ask the Lord of the harvest to send forth the laborers. Make it intense. Now look with me in Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. While you're turning, I don't know how many of you have heard of Larry Lee. He is the apostle of prayer. And many of the things that I'm sharing with you, I either learned from him or I had quickened them to me several years back. And it was just a real underlining thing to me. It was something that he helped me to understand and gave me greater understanding on some things that the Spirit of God had already showed me. So some of the things that I am sharing with you are things that he shares and that he has made very, very real in my life. It's like it was things that I knew, but he made it clear. And so I just wanted to say that. I wanted to say this because what I'm going to do right now is a primary aspect of his ministry. What I'm going to show you right now. Isaiah chapter 43, I want to start with verse 5. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from where? The east. How many believe that there are some people in Noble, in Villanow, in Catlett, Dalton, in Calhoun, Sugar Valley, in Resaca, that we can birth into the kingdom of God? Tebow, do you believe there's some people that work over there in Dalton that you can minister to? Alona, wave at me. You minister to some people that lived in Villanow. You minister to them every day, don't you? You're bringing them into the kingdom. He says, I'll bring your seed, people that you birth into the kingdom. I'll bring them from the east and gather you from where? The west. You think there's some people in Linwood need to get in the kingdom? Trenton, Rising Fawn, Higdon, Mentone. He says he'll do it. He says he'll do it. If we beseech him, if we pray to the Lord of the harvest, he says, I'll bring them. Fear not. Verse 6, I will say to the what? The north. Give them up. Noble, Rock Springs, Chickamauga. Doc, you bring people from Chickamauga all the time. Fort Oglethorpe, Rossville, Chattanooga, East Ridge, Graysville, Ringo. See that? Flintstone. Give them up. and to the South to not hold them back. Trying. How many people here tonight from trying? Trying. Look here, people from trying. Somerville. See that? Trying, Somerville. People from Menlo, Barrington, Lyerly, Tidings, Subligna, Amirchi. See, we got there's people down there that God wants to harvest. Crystal Springs, Floyd Springs, Adairsville. There's people that we can pray and that we can beseech the Lord of the harvest and say, you can't hold them back. He says, bring my sons from afar. We were back here with the youth. I was with the youth about a month ago. And I love to minister to the youth. God just does something special in me when I'm ministering to the youth. And I was talking to him about prayer. And I said, now, when we talk about the North, what do we think about? And Mary Grace says, Canada. Well, that's how God thinks. Amen? We got a guy up there now that lives in Illinois, and guess where he wants to move to go to church? You see, God brings them. If we beseech the Lord of the harvest, He'll harvest them. He says, from afar. They don't have to be on our maps, and we're going to get everybody a map here in just a second, those that don't have one. And He says, I bring them from afar, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone, how many? Everyone, everybody say everyone. Everyone who is called by my name. Everyone who is a Christian. Everyone who he's called into the kingdom of God. Everyone that can call him Father. Everyone that he wants to apply the blood to. Everyone, he says, I can bring them. Everyone called by my name and whom I have created for my what? Glory. Why were we created? For His glory. And we're going to pray about the glory of God, for it's His kingdom and it's His power and it's His glory. But how many knows that He's changing us from glory to glory? And Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1 says, arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord is upon you. You created for His glory. And Moses come down out of the mountain after praying with God. And what did he have on him? The glory of God. Every day we need to leave our homes with the glory of God. Hallelujah. Everybody that's created for my glory, called by my name, created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. How many of you were made in your mother's womb by the Lord? Every one of us was. Amen. Psalms 139 says, you formed me in my mother's womb. My days were written in a book before I was conceived. Whom I have formed, even whom I have made. Verse 8, bring out the people who are blind, even though they have eyes. And the people that are deaf, even though they have ears. Now, what we're talking about here is religious people that can't see the kingdom. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you heard it earlier, verily, verily, I say unto you, you must be what? Born again. And except that you are born again, you shall not what? See heaven. See the kingdom of God. You see, there's a difference of being saved and being born into the kingdom. Now, I hope I'm not confusing you, and I haven't got time to teach it, but you know that you can be saved and still not be able to see spiritual things. What the Lord wants us to do is be saved and experience righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Ghost, which is the kingdom of God in our life. You can be saved and not be righteous, not have peace, and not have joy. You can be saved and live in hell. Come on. But you can be saved and have your eyes opened and be able to see the kingdom of God. You can be born again of the Spirit and of water and enter the kingdom of God. And that's what we're talking about here. Father, bring even the religious people. He says, I'll bring even those that are born again but have eyes but can't see and ears but can't hear. And when we pray to the east, the west, the north, and the south, what we've got to pray for is these kind of people. Plant them, Father God, in churches where they'll not be made religious, but, Father God, where they will be made into disciples. He didn't say make people religious. He said make them what? Disciples. And disciple means a learner. Teach people how to think. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 5 through 8 tells us to pray to the east, the west, the north, and the south. Jesus says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done where? In earth. The word earth does not mean this big old ball. It means your region. It means you're part of the globe that he's placed you at, that you live in, where you have an authority realm. That's it. Now, who doesn't have a map? If you don't have one of these, I want you to just raise your hand, and these guys will get you one. If you do have them, good. Because we're going to get into this map in just a second. This is our war map. This is our war map. I think just about everybody here will find that they either live in this war map area, or they have relatives that live in this war map area. Now, Bo McGuirk and Linda made this up for me. And I thank them because it is so added to my prayer time. This is our region. This is our war map. Now, just lay it beside you and look with me in Ephesians chapter 6. What now? We get them all out. Here's one here. Anyone needs one? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against what? Rulers, powers, world forces. Where? In the darkness. Spiritual forces of wickedness. In heavenly or spiritual places. That's where we war. That's what we war against. When you're fussing and arguing with a person, you're not fussing and arguing with that person's flesh. You're fussing and arguing with the spirit that's motivating that person. You're wrestling not with that person. You're wrestling with a force behind that person. When you're talking to a person that's possessed, you're not talking to that person. You're talking to that person, that possession, that spirit that's possessing that person. And you have to be able in the spirit to be able to differentiate them. And you have to bypass them and get to that spirit. And when we're talking to cities, we're not talking to cities. We're talking to the forces of the city. We're talking to the darkness, the spiritual forces that run that city. Baals. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, again. And then we're going to turn to Matthew. And I told you we were going to look at some scriptures. You got to understand that there is people that are in disobedience. How many of you were at one time not saved and walking in disobedience to God? See, there was a force, there was a spirit that ruled your life. There was a spirit that dictated what you did. Now, that spirit no longer has dominion over you, right? The throne of God has dominion over you. You are now saved by grace, and we can now come before the throne of grace to find grace to help in a time of need. Grace is God's throne. Grace is God's authority in my life. I'm saved by grace, God's grace, by God's authority, by God's throne. Saved by grace. I don't have to be obedient to that wild and evil spirit. I'm delivered. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And you were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you formerly walked according to the what? Course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air. There was a prince of the power of the air that ruled your life. And if you're not in the kingdom of God, there's a prince of the power of the air that's ruling your life right now. You can't help but sin. That is the force in your life. When you get saved, you are no longer under this force. You have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You now have the blood of Jesus appropriated in your life, and it's given for the remissions of sin. Now, remission doesn't only mean forgiveness. It also means freedom from or liberty from sin. You don't have to sin anymore. Only reason Christians sin, true born-again Christian sins, is because they want to sin. They give in to the flesh. They give in to this spirit. But you don't have to. It doesn't rule you anymore. You walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working. Is now working in the sons of disobedience. Do you still believe there are some sons of disobedience out there in the east, in the west, in the north, and in the south that need God? That need to come into the kingdom of God. And that's what you're speaking to. You're speaking to that prince and you're speaking to that power that is holding those people in disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived to the lust of the flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God still can. If He saved me, He can save anybody. And He still wants to. But we got to understand that when we're praying for the harvest, that what we're praying to and against is principalities and powers. We're not praying to them, we're praying against them. We're entering a warfare. We're coming against Goliath. We're coming against him, and we're having war. We're having war. Now, Matthew chapter 16. I'm winding down now. We're going to stand up in war in just a minute. Matthew 16, you need to see this. You could quote it, but I just want you to see something that kind of came to me as Judy and I were coming to church tonight. Matthew 16, verse 18. You remember this one? And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock, and this is what I want to get, Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not overpower it or not prevail against it. Now, what does he picture there that the church is coming against? Gates. Do you see that? Gates of hell. Gates of hell. He pictures the church coming against the gates of hell. And who wins? Remember that. Give us a demon to fight. Remember that. We win. Then he says this, and this is what I just kind of wanted to bring out. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. And Dr. Cash has already preached this. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you shall bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. And whatever you shall loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. How many believe that we can bind the gates of hell? How many believe that we can turn to the east and say, I bind you, gates of hell. And we can loose light into those dark places. He says, whatever you bind is bound. Whatever you loose is loosed. Do you see that? Now, one more, chapter 18, Matthew 18. Now this is basically concerning the church and the discipline that goes on in the church, but I just want to bring out one thought. 18 and 18. Truly I say to you, whatever you shall bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, that if, how many? Two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. Listen, folks. When the church can stand and with one voice say, give up! Give up! Give up! Give up! Their gates are bound and the people of God are loosed. Those that are created for His glory, those that are called by His name, those that He has formed and those that He have made, those that have eyes to see but are blind, those that have ears to hear but are deaf, they're going to come. Because He said that whatever you bind is bound, and whatever you loose is loosed. And I think it's so important that when we come together, that we get together and with one voice in agreement. Now let me mention this just about agreement. If I ask you to pray for me with me about something, and you pray for me, then you come and you pray with me about something, And we pray. But if I ask you to agree with me about something, what you do when you agree with me about something is you agree to covenant with me until that thing happens. Yeah. Now that's agreement. When you get in agreement, you don't get out of agreement. Okay? When you get in agreement, it's till the end. I agreed to carry her to be my wife for the rest of my life. I can't get out of that agreement. That's a covenant. That's my wife. Okay? When we agree, when two or three agree, man, you're standing on that thing until it's done. And we're going to agree in a minute. And I believe the church is coming to a place where it can stand in agreement. The church, we've got to understand that the church is to come against the gates of hell. Every city, every province, every village has a gate, a force, a prince of darkness over that city that binds people. I believe that in Linwood, in that area over there, that there's a force that binds people. Poverty. Immoralities. I believe that. And I believe that we can come against that thing and call the people of God to be planted in churches, where they can be made disciples and taught how to think. I believe that. I believe that in our area here, and we've talked about it, the Baal Lafayette thing, we've talked about how this power and this principality that's over this area so affect us. And it's a Jezebel type of a spirit, and we've talked about that. And I believe that we've already hit that thing a crippling blow. I believe that, and I believe there's a force. And I believe over Dalton, there's a force and there's a spirit of immorality. And there's a spirit of lust and greed. And there's a spirit over there. And I believe that we need to pray towards that thing. Bind it. And loose the people of God. Every city or province has a force over it that controls the gate to that city. And that is where the war is. When I speak to the east, I'm speaking to the powers and the forces over that city that control those gates. Call the cities by name. This will mean a lot more to you when you know somebody that lives in that city. This will mean a lot more to you if you'll go through that city and visit that city. Bonnie and I went down to Griffin, and so we went down to the south, and we went through all these little towns that I'd never been before, to Berryton, to Lowry, went over to Tidings, went over through Floyd Springs and Crystal Springs, went down through Rosedale. Never been there before. I wonder how many people pray for Lowry. I wonder how many people pray for Berryton. I do, every day. And I bind the spirits of darkness down there. We left. We come out of Lowry. We come back into Somerville. We felt light coming back into Somerville. You go to these places and they're desolate. There's no blessings of God there. The kingdom of God is not there. Principle in the Word of God is God says, I want you to go and multiply. I want you to go into all the earth. You see that the principle of God is that when He sends people to places, there is a multiplication. There is God's blessings there. Those places are desolate. Schools boarded up. Buildings boarded up. Desolation. Vacation. Just vacated. There's nothing there. Ride through the farmlands and you see the in the fields the sage grass has grown up and the cattle don't even have grass to eat. The sage grass is taken over. It's desolate. You need to pray for those places. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. There's people there. There's good people there that need to know God. Need to have Him in their lives. So when we do that, when we turn and we face these places, we do it in the name of Jesus. We don't do it in our name or our authority. We do it in His. We command them to open and to release the sons and the daughters of God. Call those places by name. Call forth those people that are created for His glory. Call forth those people that He has formed. Call forth those people that He has made. Call forth those people that are blind but have eyes. And call forth those people that are deaf and have ears. The first time I did this, first time the Lord just opened that thought to me about the gates over the cities. Some of you know where I live on Snob's Knob over there. Up on Sunrise Drive. Out my east window, it faces, my house is up on a little rise, and I look down my front yard to Sunrise. And I can look out my window. And I was standing there, and I entered into this form of prayer. And I was facing the east, and I began to enter into it. And the Lord God gave me a vision. And it was like you were looking down at the earth. You were looking down at that whole east sector over there. And I could see those cities. I could see Noble, and then I could see Villanow, then I could see Catlett, and then I could see Dalton over there, Calhoun, Resaca. I could see Sugar Valley. I could see these cities over here. Chatsworth, you know, I could see these places. I could see them. And then all of a sudden, I saw the gates that was formed over each one of them. The gates that was formed over each one of those cities. And so I began to pray against the gates of hell. I began to pray, call them by name. And I commanded those gates to release the people of God. I commanded them and I called them by name. And boy, when I had finished praying that, I asked the Lord of God to send forth the laborers of harvest into those gates. And phew, I saw little rays of light going, choo, 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 shooting into those gates and going to harvest the people of God. What I'm saying here is that when you enter into prayer, allow God to give you a spiritual vision. Allow Him to show you what's happening in the realm of spirit. Let Him give you eyes of the spirit realm to see what's happening. I have come to believe. Mark was talking to me. He came up to me and he says, "Pastor, where are you praying people from?" We've got people from Trine. We've got people coming. We just got people coming because we're praying they come. We're praying they come. We're praying God will bring them and plant them. And I pray that the Lord God would bring them and that He'd plant them, draw them and plant them. John 6:44 says, "No man can come to me unless the Father who sent me does what? Draws him." Matthew 15:13 says, "Every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be rooted up." Listen to me. God plants you in this church, you can't leave. God didn't plant you, you can't stay. That's not being mean, folks. That's the Word of God. If He didn't plant you, I'm going to pray that He'll plant you where you need to be planted. Because you see, Psalms 1, verse 3 says, "The righteous man is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers." Do you see, I want you planted where you can prosper. I want you planted in a stream that can minister into your life. I want you planted in a place where you can become fruitful in the kingdom of God, where your leaves won't wither, that you'll be a strong tree. You can produce fruit in the kingdom of God. And that's what God does to it. He puts us in places where we can become fruitful. So when we pray this, we'll ask the Father to plant the people in bodies, churches, where they can be made into disciples, not made religious folks. Jesus had the most trouble out of religious people. The scribes and the Pharisees were religious people, but they crucified Him. And He says, "Woe unto you, you scribes and you Pharisees, you hypocrites. Pray people won't be religious, but pray they'll be disciples." He says, "Go make disciples. Don't go make people religious. Command the spiritual darkness to release the people. I ask the Father to plant them. And then the last thing that I do is that I ask the Father to repel those that Satan sends." George Hammond told me a year ago, he said, "Pastor," he says, "the Lord showed me and told me the devil's going to be sending people here to destroy this work." Is that right, George? He says, "You're going to have Satan worshipers coming in here to get to you, to get to the leadership to destroy this work." So when I pray this, I say, "Lord, plant those that you've called, you've chosen. It's called by your name, that you have formed, you have made, those that have eyes to see but are blind, those that have ears to hear but are deaf. But Father, repel those that the devil would send to devastate and to destroy this work. Send them where they can be ministered to, but don't let them come here." And that's the way I pray for the harvest. And I believe that's beseeching the Lord of the harvest. Do you? Do you believe that? Now, we're done. What we're going to do now is pray that His kingdom will come. That His will. I could talk more about the region. I want to quit right there. I just want to do this. We could talk about praying for our president. You need to pray for the president. You need to pray for his wisdom, his protection, and his joy every day. You can pray for our nation. This, when you get into our region area, it's limitless. It's our city. It's our province. It's our state. It's our nation. And then, you know, it's our president, it's the Senate. Michelle told me this morning that she's starting to pray for the Senate. See, Lord's going to put burdens on our heart to pray for specific things. She's just praying that the Lord will remove that whole Senate and replace it with godly people. Hey, that's God's will. All right? Then you can pray for natural Israel. You can pray for natural Israel. Psalms 122, 6 through 9 says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Nobody that I know of loves natural Israel and the natural Jew more than Dr. Cash. How many of you think that Dr. Cash is a prosperous man? May they prosper. May they prosper who love you. Romans 10:1 says, brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God is for them and for their salvation. Pray for natural Israel. Pray for their peace. Pray for their salvation. You can pray for other nations as God leads it and puts it. There's a lot of things going on in the world today. You can pray for these things. You can pray for these things. The kingdom of God to come and the will of God to be done. But now let's war. Let's war. You want a war? Can you be militant with me? You see, the whole purpose here is now to be a little militant. The whole purpose is to say, God, give us a demon that we can fight together. Are you ready? Are we ready to do that? Are we? Or do we need to run and hide in our holes and caves? You see, we can do what? We're going to war with them like David did, or we're going to hide in the holes and caves like Israel did. And I think that we're coming to a place where we're ready to war. Let's do it. Let's stand. Now, what you have is a map. Now, I'm not going to go through these cities, but I do it every day. I call them. I'm just going to pray a general prayer to the east and to the west. And what I'm going to ask you, this is the east. We're going to turn. Everybody's body is going to turn and face the east. And then I'm going to do something like this as I finish up. We're going to say, I'm going to say like this. When with one voice, we're going to say, give up. And when I say with one voice, I want you to agree with me and say, give up. Okay? And then we're going to turn to the west. And we're going to do it. And we're going to turn to the north. And we're going to do it. And we're going to turn to the south. And we're going to do it. Turn and face the east. Now, I'm not going to call these cities. I'm just going to pray that the demons and the principalities and the powers over the gates to the east will give up the people of God. Father God, right now we beseech you as the Lord of the harvest, and we come against those powers, and we come against those principalities.